5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, this is where we take a look at the top stories trending nationally in the sports world with our lunch rush. This one gets kind of interesting, doesn't it? Dallas Cowboys, do they have a conundrum on their hands now? Jerry Jones certainly wanted one. Says quarterback Dak Prescott, not ready yet, but he is leaving the door open for Sunday. What does that mean for Cooper Rush? I mean, he's been pretty good. He did what no other backup quarterback's done, right? And come in, was he 3-0 as a starter? Or 2-4? Well, because he didn't start that. So, wow. I mean, my goodness. You don't consider not going with Dak, do you?
I mean, it's tough because they're playing just so well with Cooper Rush, and I don't know if he's the difference if you just throw Dak in there and it's the same offense. But I mean, it's at this point in the season, and you know we're only a month in, but that kind of move and that kind of play from Cooper Rush can really win over a locker room in some ways.
Yeah,
and that it could cause some divide if Dak is possibly on his way out or something. Could get ugly.
Well, and what's weird with Cooper, because you're right, you 4-0, because he won one last year too, right? So when was he drafted? Because he was never the plan. When they drafted Dak Prescott, it was kind of like maybe he was going to be the plan. That was supposed to be the plan. So very similar situation with Tony Romo too. I mean, with what they did, you know, it was Tony's team, but then Romo gets hurt and Dak Prescott's taken over. And so you're in the same situation again. But Jones said it like 2 weeks ago that he wants a quarterback controversy. He would love that. He would welcome that. But yeah, you're going with Dak. I mean, you have to. The money screams that you have to on that one. NBA GMs say that the Milwaukee Bucks are the slight favorites to win the 2023 NBA championship. And Luka Doncic was tabbed as most likely to win the most valuable player award in NBA.com's annual survey of all 30 of the league's general managers. Whew. So Luka's there. Basically the NBA thinks that Luka's the best player in the NBA.
Yes.
Is that right? So Luka's the best player in the NBA. Joker's probably top five, according to these guys, yet again. I don't know where they sit. The other teams to receive votes for a championship prediction. Milwaukee got 43% of the vote. Golden State got 25% of the vote. The Clippers got 21% of the vote. And the Boston Celtics got 11. I mean, come on. The Clippers? Are we buying that? Getting that all back together? 9 teams received votes in the West. The Clippers finished slightly ahead of the Warriors for first in the West, followed by the Suns, Nuggets, David Roddy's team, and the Dallas Mavericks, and Minnesota Timberwolves, Lakers, New Orleans Pelicans. The Lakers received a vote?
Shocked.
The Pelicans received a vote? Who voted? This their own GM? Are you allowed to vote on your own team? You got to think that that's not right. You shouldn't be able to vote on your own team.
I mean, this isn't, you know, like sixth grade picking teams for a project. Sure, you vote for yourself.
Okay, so this is going to piss you off even more. So Luka was the favorite. Narrow, but the favorite. Next, 34% Giannis. 14% went to Joel Embiid. And a single vote, just one vote, went to Steph Curry. The two-time MVPs not even in the top four of your prediction here. Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Giannis, and Joker were selected at the top player of each position. Oh, thank you. Again, here we are again. I had more stories, but we ran over the music. I don't know what he's going to have to. He's going to have to go win a championship, I guess. Is that going to change things?
Maybe their thought is just, he went off with his horses in Serbia. Maybe he'll come back as a softer player and he won't be as dynamic. And last 2 years.
There's always some kind of excuse for him. I mean, it's unreal to me. And I'll never forget when Kevin Durant came out last year. And he's like, I wouldn't vote for... I don't think he specifically said I wouldn't vote for Joker. He just said the idea of back-to-back means you have to do something better than you did the year before. That was right when the Joker had two. He finished up with 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, and 500 assists. He was the first player. He became the first player to do that. So that doesn't equal something better than what you did the year before. I mean, come on. And his guys were all out. All of you, Jamal, MPJ, all of his dudes were out, man. And you're telling me that wasn't something? Here we go, buckle up, because this is how it goes for Nikola Jokic. He doesn't care. He literally does not care. Like, I am 110% convinced. He's the only one that I can say that about. Any other player you ask that says, you know, I don't care, maybe they care a little bit. I don't think Joker cares at all. I think he wants to win a championship, and that's it.
Sure. I mean, MVP, like for him, MVPs are great. He probably doesn't have those trophies anywhere.
They're probably in Denver, stable in Serbia. If not just in Denver somewhere. Like Michael Malone's just like, hang on to these for you, man. Like
back room.
Probably. I mean, who knows? I think Joker, the thing that I think Joker liked more was that his coach and some of his teammates, or mainly his coach and representatives of the team, went out to Serbia to give him the trophy. I think that's what he liked more than
anything.
He's
a very team-oriented guy.
Family guy,
team guy. And that shows
in
the way that he plays, it shows.
No question. And again, I don't know him. I've been to a couple of press conferences. You can tell that 5 seconds into him sitting down that he is just a good dude. He goofs around. Serious on the floor, but goofs around. Fun-loving guy. You can get that 5 minutes in. The most pleasant guy you'll interview. Seriously. Bruce Brown, he was talking about the difference between media with the Nets and media with the Nuggets, and he's like, this is great because I'm a low-key guy. I love this. You got to think Joker loves that too. That's why he was so quick to sign that contract. I mean, it's hard to say a guy doesn't care about the money, but, you know, again, for him, he's making great money regardless. So he got the max contract. But don't you get the feeling that Joker's the kind of guy that would just play for like a very regular person salary? He's the kind of guy, if there was a guy to do it, he would probably be the one to do it.
Yeah, and he's not going to reset the market on anything. He's not going to go like, oh, I need X amount of guaranteed money.
There was no negotiation. I mean, again, the way the NBA set, two-time MVP, he was set. There was a certain amount that he could get, and they just didn't even mess around. They just said, here it is. But he signed it. Like, they brought the contract to Serbia, and Malone, like, just kind of did one of those, and, like, they put the contract on Malone's back. He's like, here, bend over. Not that way. I'll sign the contract on your back. Oh, a horse is getting a hold of it. Grab that thing. The ink's not dry. I mean, he was quick to sign it, man. How can you not love the Joker? Just everything about the guy. He is the best player in the league. I without a shadow of a doubt, he is the best player in the NBA. And now he's got the arsenal. They're here. Backup has arrived. The cavalry has arrived for Nikola Jokic. And it's Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., and Bruce Brown, and KCP, and Bones Highland getting another year under his belt. And Aaron Gordon, hopefully going to play like that monster that we believe he is. You've got a great cast here, man. Now, as we break into more of our NBA season previews and stuff, we'll see, you know, just what's in store for Denver. But you've got a mixture here between the two-time MVP, in my opinion, the best player in the NBA, a guy in Jamal Murray that can be an all-star, Michael Porter Jr. can be a sharpshooter, needs to be that sharpshooter, and Gordon can be your muscle. Bones Highland is your high-energy ball handler that's going to do some miraculous things for you, that's getting more and more confidence. He's a great teammate. Everybody loves him. He loves everybody. Dude, when he tweeted out that his dog was missing, I'm pretty sure Denver shut her on down that day, and everybody got off work early so they could go out and find his dog.
That was for like several days, too.
Did they find it?
I don't know. I know he got another dog, Trezzy, his little puppy. So I don't know if he ever found the other dog.
He probably didn't find it. I don't know.
But Bones is the type of guy that he would just go out in the public and say, hey, I'm going to be at this park.
Yes.
And people would just go meet him there.
So when I got to Media Day, I'm just walking down the hall. And this is different than anything you're going to see even at the college level. I'm just walking down the hall. So here's the hall. Long, long hall. These great Nuggets pictures and lights, and it's awesome. To the left, I got to turn to go into the media room where they're going to do the press conferences. To the right is the hallway leading to their locker rooms. And I'm walking by the hall, and there's Bones Highland just leaning up against the wall talking to a random person, not a player. And you just walk by and say, hey. And he goes, hey. And then you just go and do your thing. But he's just, like, approachable. They're all pretty. I will say this. Basketball players in general seem like they're more approachable. But the Nuggets especially, they're very approachable. And Bones is just one. You're right. He's one of those guys that's like, hey, anybody have a pickup game going on? I'd love to just drive down and play. He's that kind of guy. And Joker probably would be that kind of guy, but now he's kind of like too, you know, that guy can't go anywhere.
Oh, no.
Without being recognized in Denver.
He'd need his brothers as bodyguards.
Yes. Although Joker, I bet you that guy could mess some people up if he gets
that. Which is why he has bodyguards.
Yeah.
They're not protecting him.
Is that Twitter account that the Joker brothers have, is that a real account now? Because at first I thought it was real at one point, and then they took it down, but now it's back up. But I don't feel like it's real. I don't remember if it's just Jokic brothers or what, but they still post stuff on it randomly. And some of the posts, I'm like, this is, I don't know. I don't know if this is, but they don't really care. I mean, there's no PR crew trying to manage those dudes. Good luck with that. You will lose that battle and maybe your life if you try. But I just, man, I just love the stuff around the Nuggets, man. Like Joker, horse guy, loves horses. His brothers are like, are they connected? You know, like you have that way. Like, did they have a hard life and they beat up Joker a lot? But you know, as a brother, and then they just wanted to make sure that he got out, man. He got out, and he's the clean cut. He got out. So I love that story. And then you got Jamal. We all know about Jamal, right? Doing the push-ups in the snow. We all know about his work ethic and everything. He missed free throws. His dad had him out doing push-ups in the snow in Canada. We all know about his work ethic. I mean, Michael Porter Jr. doesn't really have that cool of a story. But Bones Highland, nickname, that's it right there. He lives
MPJ's
up to that.
Nice.
He's nice, but like, yeah, there's a MPJ. Just his initials. But, you know, I hope there's a cool story for him at some point. But
well, he's writing that story.
He's writing that story. There was a play last night in the corner. Did you see that? Like, he didn't see. So the pass came to him, and he's like, whoa, here's a basketball. I'll shoot it. Boom. Like, if he can be that guy, dude, if he can truly stay healthy and be that shooter, because I've seen some athletics. The way he'll just take a little sidestep, shoot a three. It's so slow, but yet ridiculously fast at the same time.
He had
time.
A nice little step back last night.
Love those step backs.
Mid range, just perfect stroke.
Yeah, it's going to be good, man. It's going to be a good team. Aaron Gordon needs to be Kenyon Martin with a better shot, which he does. But you had Kenyon Martin, who was an enforcer, who obviously a rebounder, good defensive player, but nobody's messing with that dude. Kenyon Martin is like one of my. I don't know if it's fair to say he's underrated because he was a pretty big-time free agent signing for them back in the day. But he was one of those underrated players to me that made the Nuggets kind of work. And I think Aaron Gordon needs to be that kind of guy. And if he can be, because that's what they need. Jamal's a scorer. Joker's a scorer. Porter's a scorer. Bones is a scorer. You need that guy to be the score. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Top text Tuesday, we got a $15 gift certificate on the line for Cables Pub and Grill. B-Rad could get in the mix here, and he could win the $50 gift certificate, of course.
Caller on the line wanted to talk some CSU football real quick.
Okay. What's up, caller on the line?
Hi there. Listen, been wanting to ask you this question for a while. When Norvell first came in and the players were meeting and they were having practice, and then when fall practice came along, everybody seemed like they were laughing and having a good time, and it was a great change from Adazio, and now it seems like there's a different tone, and players are leaving the program, even players that are playing are leaving the program, and even Norvell seems like he has taken a different tone. I just kind of wanted your take on that.
Okay, yeah, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate that. You're right. It was in the off season. It was all pump up for Air Raid. We're going to build this thing up. We're going to make this amazing, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be an exciting brand of football. We all bought into it like that was going to happen today, and I think the players probably thought that too. And again, when you see some of these players that are leaving, you look at them and go, typically what? It's upperclassmen guys. It's guys that only have so long left to play this game and try to either put together enough tape or whatever for an NFL job, or just, hey, it's cool to play college football. We got one or two more years. I'm not saying that Jay Norvell blew smoke up there, you know what. I'm saying that he believed they'd be a lot further. I feel like he even believed they'd be further along than they are right now. And I think the team bought into that. And to the caller's point there, great call, by the way. It's always like that. It's always cutting up and exciting, and everything's happy before the start of the season. But when you lose, and when you lose like this, changes, man. I mean that could be as simplistic as I could make it. It changes everything. Losing like that changes the way you view things. Now, if the Rams were losing, but they were, what are they, 0-4? If they were 0-4, but they were like, they lost to Middle Tennessee by a touchdown. Michigan, maybe they scored 20 or something. Sac State, they lost by a field goal. Washington State, they lost by 10. We wouldn't be talking about this today, I don't believe. I truly think that we're looking at this and these upperclassmen are going, dude, I didn't sign up for a rebuild. I signed up for a retooling, but not a rebuild. And this is a full on, take everything down. The house is infested with rodents and bugs and everything. We got to tear it all down brick by brick. And all we have is ground. We don't even have a foundation. We got to start pouring the foundation. And I think that players looked at that dude and said, I thought you were just talking about, adding a basement. Adding another floor, adding another room upstairs, new doors, new windows, brand new entertainment setup, overhaul in the living room. I didn't think you were having to rebuild and lay a brand new foundation. Because maybe it wasn't sold to them like that. But in fairness, if you're Jay Norvell, you're going to tell them, hey, guys, it's going to take some work. We're in a retooling mode. But my gut tells me, and this is not what Jay Norvell's saying, but my gut tells me that even they thought this was going to be further along than where they are right now. And, I don't want to put it all on the offensive line. I've talked a lot about the offensive line. But, dude, if you can't block to set up for air raid, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You have a great sharpshooter in the NBA, but he's just a shooter, can't create on his own. Well, he doesn't work if you don't have a stud point guard getting him the ball or a good passer getting him the ball. That's where we are with this, man. Yeah, I think times were exciting back then, and there was, it's Michigan. Nobody cares if we win or lose that game. And then as the season progressed, you're like, okay, you're losing badly to teams you probably shouldn't be losing badly to. You probably should be beating. But it's a slow process, man. And I'm for it, by the way. I'm here for it. I'm disappointed that we're not further along with the Rams. But I got starry-eyed. And I think that some of these players are looking at it the same way. Is they were told, we're going to be a solid team this year. We want to be a really good team this year. But I won't kid you, it's going to take work. It's a rebuild. It's a retool. We're trying to get this thing right. And 4 weeks later, upperclassmen, it's a gamble, right? Do I stay here and hope that we get it right? Or do I go somewhere else next year and hope that that position is better for me? That's That's where it is. That's a good call. 1225 the time. First Advantage text line. 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I love those calls. I love that interaction on our First Advantage hotline. 970-353-1310. See, we don't bite. Just lay it out, man. We play it out for you. We'll be right back. We're live from the Allo Communications on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Texting in, Mr. Noob. Good to hear from you, Noobs. Is Noobs going for it today? Going for a $15 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill? He just said, maybe the coaches overvalued the team and didn't think it was a full rebuild. Yeah, that's kind of what I've been saying. And is that a crime? Because that kind of happens, doesn't it? Coaches overvalue people all the time.
No, there's a... Any type of project you're doing, you have an idea of what you want it to be as you start it. And then as you go, you figure out, okay, that's not what I thought it was. Or, hey, that's actually better than I thought. Let's focus on that while also trying to fix up the thing that we know is not right.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. It's ask Mike Tomlin about Mitch Trubisky today. You know, and that's a weird situation. But the belief there was that Mitch Trubisky was going to be the guy for at least this season while Pickett got right. But now it's too, you know, oh, well, that didn't work out like we thought it was going to. Just ask John Elway if he thinks Joe Flacco is still in his prime or not. That didn't work out. We overvalue, undervalue all the time, don't we? This is why it's such a big deal when undrafted free agents go and make their way in the NFL. And becomes fantastic because what do? We undervalue. Yes, sometimes, and Noob, I'm not accusing you of this, and not even the caller, but I think sometimes we all just go, these guys are robots, they're professional coaches, they should all get it right. That's the thing. They're all competing with each other to get it right. They're all going to get players that come in and a group and a unit, an offensive line unit, a running back unit, wide receiver unit, and sometimes those guys don't work out the way you thought they were, thought they were going to work out. That is human nature. The coach's job is then to go, all right, we had some injuries on that O-line. It wasn't as good as we thought it was going to be this year. We got work to do in the offseason. We are going to have to make darn sure we address the offensive line and get competition in here. And the bottom line is, as a Mountain West team, you are battling the transfer portal. If you have guys that are worth a damn, they are going to leave. There's a good shot they're going to leave. And that's just something you have to be aware of. Smitty texting, and we're down to 68 scholarship players, so that's 17 openings, plus anyone else who graduates or leaves after the season. That's the way to look at it, right? That's a glass half full. You got a lot of scholarships that you can offer up. You got a lot of openings. And wouldn't you imagine we're going to be talking to a lot of big old jolly offensive linemen and try to get that depth chart up to speed. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I don't think that is going to be an indictment against Jay Norvell, do you? The fact that maybe he overvalued and maybe overpromised? Because why else would these players leave? Because I have not heard a bad thing about Jay Norvell. Former players, whatever. I have not heard a lot of people say, oh man, once he's your head coach, look out. He's a terrible guy. I haven't heard that from anybody. In fact, I think he's a heck of a guy. From everyone I've talked to, not one bad word said about him. A lot like Nico Medved. A lot of the good things you hear there. I see the other thing. Look at Nico Medved. What did he win, 11 games his first year? I mean, it just takes time. But I'm not hearing, other than Nevada's drama, that they're saying, oh, he told players to not play in the bowl game. And even if he did, Angel, if that's your biggest crime in life, I'm in. Jay, I got your back. I'm in on this whole thing. Even if they go over. Seriously, I'm in. Brady, you're bandwagon. You're not bandwagon. You're Homer? Is that the word? Not now. Not right now. Next season, yes. Then we get critical. This season is what it is. Dixon texting in, with Denver being a surprising 3.5-point favorite, really looking forward to Mr. Thursday Night this week. We expect Mr. Thursday Night to be impartial and honest in his decisions, but wondering if he can put a hold on his homerism. There it is again in this one. Broncos, Colts? Dude, I have the Broncos predicted to lose games. Look at I have it. It's on theholeshow.com. I've written in where I think the Broncos are going to lose. You can do the cheat sheet if you want and go check out theholeshow.com to see what I think of Thursday. Have I changed my mind? I don't know, man. I'm a little scared of this situation. Our strength coming into the season was the run game, in my belief. Is that the biggest weakness on the team? We'll talk about it next. 12:36 the time. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. What are you talking about? I'm always impartial. All the time. I can be critical when I have to be. I am critical of this Broncos team. No question about it. Texter says, missed the first hour of the show, but I see that George Payton brought in another ex-Minnesota running back. First Boone and now Murray. Apparently, Adrian Peterson and Robert Smith weren't available. And I guess Tanner didn't take his call. What? Whose call? Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, this is stemming from a text before. That's a good way to earn Top Text Tuesday. Keep a narrative going. Could win Top Text Tuesday with that.
Shows that you're listening.
Yeah, and it shows that you're also staying true to your takes coming in. That Tanner Schwint was maybe a runner-up to be called as running back for the Broncos. I'm fine with Murray. It is what it is at this point. You're not going to get. What is Murray? If you grade him, is he a C-, D-plus? Probably. If you're on a practice squad, you're probably not getting a better grade than a D-plus. Although the last game, I'll take 57 yards and a touchdown. I'll take 57 yards and a touchdown on Thursday night.
And no fumbles.
And no fumbles. Man, I hate this with Gordon. It does suck because you have a player that's good. But he has a fumbling problem. It's not just, okay, yeah, but you're being extreme. He doesn't fumble that much. We're beyond that now. We did the math. Based on his last 35 games or whatever it is, he's fumbled 11 times. So you go into every game Thursday night, there's a 30% chance Melvin Gordon's going to fumble. And listen, I hated the fact that he cried. Not that he showed emotions at all. Loved that. But I want to be pissed, and I want him to say, you know what, at the end of the day, you know, I get to be me, and you get to be you. Who was that who said that? That was, who was? Was that Cam? That wasn't Cam Newton, was it? It's like, at the end of the day, I get to be me. And maybe it was LeBron back in the day. But it wasn't any of that stuff. It was heartfelt. He felt like he let his team down and everybody down. And he showed real emotion, and I tweeted it out. I was like, I hate that. I wish he was more of a jerk. But I'm still critical of the guy. If there were better options available right now, go for it. But there's not. Brady, since you have been giving Melvin Gordon the Raheem Moore treatment, right? You should be okay with Denver bringing in Noob to be the running back. I haven't. And see, Dixon's saying I'm being overly critical of Gordon. I don't think I'm being overly critical, but that was a bad play. That play cost everything, man.
It's a legit concern with him.
11 fumbles in 35 games. And if you... Dixon, you're a football guy. I know this. You believe in Uncle Mo. Momentum is a real thing. It is absolutely a real thing. And I know the Broncos came back and scored on that possession, but that still killed your momentum for several reasons. Obviously, number one is the momentum you can't see in just a game and how it's played out. But that fumble scared Nathaniel Hackett crapless. And he did not give him the ball, but what, two more times the rest of the game. And then you had Boone in. And he can't block, and he can't catch the ball out of the backfield. So what was a strength for this team going into the off or going into the season is maybe outside of tight end. I gave the running back crew in my grades this year for the AFC West, I gave the running backs like an A, didn't I? The tight ends I gave, like, that was the worst crew. And I'm still torn there. It might be tight end. But I'm telling you what, that's why we watch this game. For redemption. Redemption stories, man. I was thinking about this. When I first started dating my wife, you know who the head coach of the Denver Broncos was?
Mike Shanahan?
Close, but Josh McDaniels.
Oh, yeah. That was
close.
Should have had that.
Well, it was close because it was like within a year. I mean, Shanahan was fired. McDaniels was the next guy.
What year was that?
Ooh, she's probably...
you better know the
listening
answer.
Right now. 2010? 2010, and that was like middle of the season. And so that might have been his second year. But I was thinking about this. I'm watching the game with my wife, and I'm like, how weird is football, right? I first met my wife. We started dating. Josh McDaniels was the head coach of the Broncos. If I knew right then you could fast forward, Josh McDaniels is the head coach of the Raiders. Like, if you just went into a coma for 12 years, came back out, and you're like, how did that happen? What happened from guessing that didn't go well for the Broncos, but he must have done well enough to be on the Raiders, and now he's with the most hated franchise, the Broncos' most hated franchise in the NFL. So it's crazy. It's just crazy. It's what it's about, though. He gets his redemption for one day at least. Josh McDaniels gets to hold his head high and say, I beat the team that fired me all those years ago. Hadn't won a game since I was a Denver Broncos head coach. And my first win as a head coach, not as the Denver Broncos head coach, was against the Denver Broncos. Isn't this league crazy?
Everything comes full circle.
It does, dude. The NFL is like Rafiki and Lion King, man. It is. Like, it tells you the story. It creates the story. Well, the story in front of us for Thursday night for the Broncos is Melvin Gordon. Guy was crying on the podium, which I absolutely love. I applaud him for that. I think more of us need to show more emotion, myself included. So I love that he did that. Not because he's sad or anything, but I think that it's great to show raw emotion up there, whether you're sad, happy, whatever. Love it. Bring it all day long. I just hated it for him. You know, that he's a person at the end of the day. So I hate it for him. But these are professionals. So that's why we have radio shows that are critical of these guys. And they can take it. They have to take it. That's part of the job. It's part of the gig. Texter, so should Peyton be criticized for re-signing Gordon if fumbling is such an issue and confidence in him can be lost so easily? Dude, okay. This is too far this year. He had four fumbles last year? He's already had four. And we're four games in. He's had four fumbles and we're four games in. One of them cost you a touchdown. The other one caused a touchdown. Another one, your quarterback that you guys are so damn critical of, and Russ dove on it, saved the game against San Francisco. Had Russ not done that, dude, you could be 1-3 right now because all from a big part of Melvin Gordon fumbling the football. Think about that. That's how bad it could be. They would have lost that game if they would have lost that fumble, right, against San Francisco. That was in their own 5-yard line.
Yes, that would have been a huge momentum shift in that second half.
And it was late enough, too, where it's like, touchdown here is going to hurt. Luckily, Russell saves it. But if he doesn't, you're 1-3 in every single game. You can go to critical fumbles from Melvin Gordon, at least of the three games. So am I faulting Peyton for signing Gordon this year? No, because the fumbles, I could live with the fumbles last year. Apparently, they were few and far between. Four out of 17 games Was it 16 games? Is this the first year we've done 17 games? Seriously, I don't know.
Think so?
I don't know.
Last two years have been a blur.
I honestly don't know. Is this the first year? But last year was like, okay, let's just say 16. I don't care. Either way, 16, 17. If it's four fumbles in 17 games, that's live. I can live with that. But if it's four fumbles, this is the second year we've been, okay. If it's four fumbles in four games, now you're saying you have a major issue. Four fumbles in 17 games, not ideal, but no, we'll live. Four fumbles in four games, yeah, it's cause for alarm. So no, I'm not saying Peyton should be criticized for that. You can't predict a guy's going to fumble like that. Texture from the 970. One running back hurt, one with a complete lack of confidence, and another that's an obvious backup. This was a game that Russ needed to throw the Broncos to a win but couldn't. My doubts have grown. I don't fault you right now. This offense isn't where it should be. Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson are trying to figure this thing out, and it's taking time. I knew it would take time. I thought we'd have a little more than what we're getting right now. Texter from Cody. Half of Melvin Gordon's fumbles have resulted in touchdowns for the defense. Yes, and that's why it's an extreme. That's why we're all freaking out right now. Because this isn't just a couple of fumbles here and there that Gordon fumbles as he's going to the ground and he just falls on top of it. These are fumbles that are landing in the other team's hands. And they're stopping a touchdown or going for a touchdown.
If the Broncos beat Seattle and the Raiders with those fumbles, mm-hmm. we're not talking about it.
We're not talking
It's not, oh my gosh, this is the biggest concern of the team.
Right.
It's, oh, Melvin's still fumbling, but hey, we're winning games.
Because you didn't talk about it with the San Francisco game. It was part of it, but it wasn't the narrative. The narrative was that? That was Russell Wilson. Oh man, he didn't get it right until the final possession. I'm not sold on this guy. That was it. Because Russell Wilson dove on that football like a grenade, landed on that thing. This is when you get to the point where it's an extreme. When a guy drops 5 out of 10 passes, he has a serious case of drops, not those kind. When a guy fumbles every single game that he's played this season, it's a big problem. Brady, Russ was brought in like a wave to raise all boats. Curious, what grade are you giving him so far? C. Nothing great. Not the worst I've seen. He's at a C right now. He's had some A moments, he's had some F moments, he's had some D moments, some B moments, he's a C. 12:52, let's take a quick break, wrap up hour number two. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Wild West, Jim West, Desperado, Rough Rider, no, you don't want nada. None of this, six gunning this, brother running this, Buffalo Soldier. Look, it's like I told you, any damsel that's in distress, be out of that dress when she meet Jim West. Rough neck, so go check the lawn.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Did you see the movie for this?
I don't know any of Will Smith's music.
This was just Wild Wild West, but I never had interest to see this one. But Will Smith, I will give him this. He likes to do weird things, but he kind of brought back he brought back the 80s styles of making movies about, making songs about movies. You know, like he did that one in Men in Black, and I'm sure he did another one. I love that. Those were the days, Angel. In the 80s, dude, we couldn't just have Ghostbusters. We needed to have something strange. Like, you make up a song about it. Will Smith brought that back. Who's going to bring it back? I saw flip phones are coming back. So we need to bring back music for movies. Will Smith, could you be that guy? Maybe. Final hour coming up next. It's Today in the NFL. We'll be right back.